Dana Belmonte and David Hodges, who are going to give us our orientation tonight. Please welcome them.
Well, good evening, everybody. Dave and I are going to give you the orientation talk. And I'm just going to start with one last logistical item, and it's the handbook. You got the handbook at registration. And if you didn't get a handbook, just see the registrars. You can grab one. The handbook has a lot of information for the week, and if you missed any of the announcements, everything is really in here. So if you missed anything, check out the handbook. And it is kind of the way that we try to limit the announcement time, and it really helps with that. So the handbook is definitely useful for the week, but the handbook is also useful beyond the week, and I'll just tell you a couple of things that you might want to keep it around for during the year. There's a lot of stuff on CFO in the handbook. So the handbook could function as a extended brochure of sorts. If you run into somebody through the year that you think might like CFO and you need to give them a little bit more information, the handbook can help you with that. The whole daily schedule and a few other things are in there, and you can flip through it and find those for yourself. One of the other things that could come in handy for you on pages 18 and 19, there's information about the Winnie website. We have a beautiful website. It's really nice, and thank you to David Hodges for keeping that up. David does a fabulous job with the website, but the website is great for so many reasons, because one reason is it's a good place to collect our pictures. We are in the 21st century, and as much as I like to hold a picture in my hand, that just is not the case anymore. And so if you want to see pictures, we get all those pictures from you, and there's directions for how you can send them to David to be put on the website. It's all spelled out on page 19. And keep the pictures coming. It's just a great record of camps past, and they're really fun to look at, and especially since the picture albums seem to be less and less over the years. One of the other things we provided this year in the handbook, some of you might recall an old CFO pamphlet that was passed around called Seed Thoughts for Daily Meditation. Couldn't find a copy of it online anywhere, so I said, oh, well, why don't we just make that available again? That would be nice. So in the back of the handbook, we've provided a copy of that, and you might enjoy that. There's also a place for notes and a few other things, and I think you'll find the handbook to be really helpful. With that, David Hodges is going to talk to us about Glenn Clark, and I'll be back a little later on.
Thank you, Dana. It's my pleasure to be back here again. It's hard to believe that it's time for camp again. If you are not a first-time camper, perhaps you've gotten into the thing where you measure your year by the camp. And so when you get to camp, you look back on the past year and you see how far you've come during the year. For me, a lot has happened this year. This is the first time in my 27 years of coming that my name tag has a state on it other than Connecticut, which is a pretty wonderful thing. It says Brattleboro, Vermont, and I'm very proud of that. Thank you. And by next time, it'll say Dummerston, Vermont, by next year. Yeah. So anyway, there's a story behind that, but that's for another place and time. But what is relevant is that last weekend I was in Brattleboro, and I was having dinner with a friend. And we were seated on the outdoor veranda of a little bistro over the Connecticut River and having our dinner. And as we had our appetizers and then our dinners, it seemed that any time we took a drink from our water glass, the busboy came over and refilled our glass to the top. And every few times that he came over, he also took a rag and wiped up the condensation from the table. This busboy couldn't have been more than 17 or 18 years old, but he's very attentive. And normally, I find over-attentive service as annoying as bad service. But in this case, there was something about him that was very special. He had a very kind and gentle attitude. And when I looked up at him, he was smiling at me. And I realized he'd been smiling at me every time, even though I hadn't been looking up at him. And when we left, my friend and I talked about him, and she said that he had been smiling at her, too, every time. So we talked about how this ordinarily annoying practice actually blessed us. We felt blessed by his attentions to us. He turned an ordinary drudge job into something really, really special. And he turned it into an opportunity to bless people that he was serving. And his kindness and his intention to be kind and loving communicated itself to us non-verbally. So instead of just getting through his shift and his job, he turned it into a creative act. So what's the lesson for that as we're about to embark on a week of camp? One of the lessons is that God might very well appear to us in disguise at camp. He might be somebody that's filling our water glass or refilling the salad or getting a chair for us at a prayer group. You just never know. God is in disguise. The second thing is that no matter what kind of encounter we have here at camp, no matter how small it is, it's meaningful. There's meaning in everything that happens here, and there's an opportunity to go farther out in everything that happens here. And it's not just in the big things. It can be in the very, very small things. And the third thing is, we don't need to be a Mother Teresa to have an effect on the world. And we don't have to embark on big mission projects, and we don't have to do big works of charity or whatever. Those are good things, but we can take what we have and what we're given and the place in which we're put, and we can raise it to another level. CFO is all about raising it to another level. If we attend to the little grace notes and the backbeats and the subtle rhythms of what goes on here, the spiritual world becomes very accessible. Now, the way modern life is set up, we experience ourselves these days as social beings, economic beings, romantic beings, skilled beings, political beings, sick or healthy beings, young or old beings, way more than we experience ourselves as spiritual beings. But the terrible irony is that our true nature is spiritual beings. And very few people reach the end of their lives having really realized that. And CFO is an opportunity to realize ourselves as spiritual beings. And when we do realize that we're spiritual beings, a new world opens up. And Glenn Clark was a man who had such a realization, and we at Winnie CFO are his spiritual descendants. To be more specific, CFO exists because Glenn Clark, when still a fairly young man, had an authentic, life-changing experience of God. And the result of this was that he entered into a new awareness of the effectiveness and the power of prayer. And CFO exists because Glenn Clark was a gifted writer and teacher and coach, and so he had all the skills necessary to communicate with passion and authority his belief in prayer. So let's go over the basic facts of Glenn Clark. Now, when I was privileged to speak about Glenn Clark the last time, which is about 10 years ago, I posed you guys a quiz. And that quiz was, what was Glenn Clark's middle name? Now, we had easy Joe. Go on. We had some relatives of Glenn Clark, his grandson and great-grandchildren, they were the ones that came up with the answer. And I'm wondering if anyone remembers the answer. Joe? I want to know now. He thinks it's Egbert. What do you think?
Glenn.
You got it. You're right. Yay. His name was Egbert Glenn Clark. You got that too? Good job, Denby. So Egbert Glenn Clark wisely chose to go by his middle name. And we're all so glad for that. He was born in 1888 in Des Moines, Iowa. He grew up to become an English teacher and an athletic coach and a Sunday school teacher and a writer. He taught at McAllister Park College in St. Paul, Minnesota. Shortly after World War I, he had a profound spiritual awakening, and that lifted him into a higher way of living. And you can read about that in his autobiography, which is called The Man's Reach, which is this book here, which is available in the bookstore. And I highly recommend it to get a grounding in the history of CFO and what CFO is all about. Now, I once had a conversation with Norman Elliott. We were out on the picnic tables by the scoop shop in some free time, and we were talking about the early days of CFO. Norman Elliott was Glenn Clark's son-in-law, and he spent a great deal of time in the Clark household, and he was also a student of Glenn's at McAllister Park College. And Norman told me that Glenn Clark was the best teacher he ever had. He was inspiring, the way he taught was memorable, and he just gave people a passion for his subject. And he also said that as a husband, as a father, as someone who ran a household, that he had a unique approach to life's problems, and that things just didn't bother him the way they do normal people. He had a quiet confidence that things would work out for the best. And this, of course, came from his practice of prayer. Now, nowadays in the internet, there are MP3s available of Glenn Clark speaking, and I recommend that you seek them out and listen to them. They're really, really good. If you want to hear if you want to hear about CFO from the source, these are really, really good things to hear. We listened to one of his talks at a council ring meeting this spring. You get a sense in listening to his talks of a man in a hurry. And he's in a hurry because he has a mission. And his mission was so vital to him that he just couldn't bear to not express a thought. And so the thoughts tumbled out one after another, and he almost would get piled up on each other. He had a sense of humor, which he used sparingly, but he was very funny. But he also didn't pull any punches. Especially when he was talking about Christian ministers, and I apologize to the ministers here, but they were particularly subjects of his disdain because of their lukewarm belief in prayer. But anyway, as Glenn's awakening deepened in him, he began to experience unprecedented results in prayer. And he taught his Sunday school classes about prayer, and one of his students urged him to write down his thoughts. And his first effort was a book called The Soul's Sincere Desire, which I believe is also in the bookstore. And that was published in the Atlantic Monthly, and it made him famous. He became a household name in America. He wrote many more books, and he gave countless lectures about prayer, and what had been something that he shared with a Sunday school class turned into his overriding mission in life. My favorite book of his is called I Will Lift Up Mine Eyes. He lays out how to pray in many, many different ways. It's full of stories and parables. It's very worthwhile. I have this is my copy, which I bought in 1984 as a very young camper. As you can see, it's well worn. I still read it through every few years. So as a coach, Glenn Clark was used to taking his football teams to practice camp for 3 weeks. And so he thought, well, if football players can go to camp for 3 weeks, then Christians can go to camp for 3 weeks. And so he started CFO, and the first CFO camp lasted for 3 weeks. And it was in 1930, the shores of Lake Coronis in Minnesota. The camp that became Winnie, this camp, started 2 years later in 1932 in Maine, and then it moved to Star Island off the coast of Maine, off the coast of New Hampshire, and then after World War II, it moved here to Geneva Point Center. And Glenn Clark personally ran this camp until the mid-50s. So, and now there are camps all over the country and through CFO International camps over the world. So what did Glenn Clark teach? If you sum up his work, he had three missions: to teach the world how to live on a higher level, to teach the world how to pray, and to stop war and bring in peace. And in his writing, he goes over those three topics again and again and again in different ways. He often taught in stories and parables because he called that the lost art of Jesus. And Jesus taught that way. And he liked to teach that way too. And sometimes his writing, you know he's getting at something deeper because he's telling you a story. And you know he's communicating through that. He taught the power of the very small. And by the very small, he meant the very small wishes and dreams that we keep in our hearts. He said, the smaller and more invisible a thing is, the more powerful and creative and precious it is. He often used the model of ladders and steps, the beanstalk, dimensions, hierarchies, as a way to teach that spiritual progress often goes in steps, not in big leaps. And we're going to be talking about Jacob's ladder and prayer preparation one day. Not only did he use parables and metaphors, he taught their use as a way to become a co-creator with God by using the divine imagination. Today we might say he used stories to reframe problems into opportunities, to turn people's thoughts and feelings from the negative aspects of their situation to the positive, or from the lesser to the greater. He taught that a soul's sincere desire is a desire that's always fulfilled. However, in I Will Lift Up Mine Eyes, he qualifies this a bit by saying that a soul's sincere desire has two characteristics. Number one, it comes from an integrated personality. And number two, it comes from a soul that is equally joined with God and with man. And he called that a soul's desire. So an integrated personality has a sincere desire. A soul that's integrated with God and man has a soul's desire. And with these two tests, a person with a soul's sincere desire and who knows himself deeply and fully, good parts and bad parts, and has learned to integrate his humanness with the Spirit of God and his selfishness with love for others will achieve success in prayer. He says these qualities are rare because they're not taught. And they're really not taught, except perhaps here at CFO. So once one has sincere desires, then one's dreams can shift from the outer superficial self to the deep inner self. And there we can find our soul's sincere desires are waiting for us. But Glenn Clark taught that once you found it waiting for you, you couldn't just keep it for yourself. You had to give it away. You can't realize your dream until you surrender it to God and give it to others. So what does it mean to give your dream to others? There's many aspects to this, but I found a couple that work for me. One is to put your dream out there when it's ready to be hatched. Talk to people about it. Write about it. Paint it. Sculpt it. Facebook it. Blog it. A friend of mine and I once threw a big party at New Year's, a 3-day party. And the last day of the party, we communicated our dream to the people at the party, and that is something that has kept on giving and is giving to this day. Number two is don't hesitate to give your dream as a gift to others. There's nothing more powerful for the realization of a dream than to do it for someone else. If you shift it off of your own selfhood and into that realm where you give away the benefits, you reap the reward tenfold. So Glenn Clark knew that the only way to really convince people was to give them an authentic experience of what a prayer-based life was like. He called that prayer-based life kingdom living. And he invented CFO as a way to get people like you and me to experience this kingdom living directly. This is an unmediated real-life experience of spiritual living. There's no training wheels. It's not a simulation. It's not Farmville. It's not Zoo World. Where's Ann Littlefield? I'm talking to you. This is real stuff. Glenn Clark not only believed in God and in Jesus and the Holy Spirit, he also had a limitless belief in humanity. And he believed that humanity has an ability to transcend, to live lives in peace and harmony. He believed he could give people the tools to live. There's Ann Littlefield. I see you. Give people the tools to free themselves from inner bondage and to live through the gifts of freedom. CFO shows you how to tap the power pack of spiritual living. So in normal life, you have the normal fuel sources of going to church and being a good person and reading the Bible and serving others, which are all good. But the power pack is where the energy comes from. That makes everything go. And CFO's aim is to connect us to that. CFO aims to tell us how to power up. One of the ways to power up is to become more conscious. Becoming more conscious is becoming more aware of what's opening up to you in this moment. And that's part of our task at CFO. Become more conscious of breaking through barriers. Become more conscious that even if you don't feel great, it might be God moving in you. Even if you feel off balance or emotional or angry, don't discount that. Don't try to push it away because you're at camp. Feel that God might be trying to work something in you. If you have a dream, tell it to somebody. God often speaks to people at camp through their dreams. God often will put a divine discontent within you at camp, an urge to find something deeper. Sometimes if you have, quote unquote, a bad camp, it's often your richest camp. So the CFO Daily Program is designed to give us a taste of the benefits of living in the kingdom so that we can bring it home with us and to incorporate it into our daily lives. And Dana is going to give you a rundown on the schedule and the elements of the program. So I'd like to turn it back to Dana.
So I've heard a few people now over the years describe the CFO day when they first encounter it. They look at the schedule and they say, oh, it's rather daunting. It looks like it's crazy. But after they experience it, they say, oh, it's there's a flow. There's a breathing in and a breathing out. I feel refreshed. And that's by design. Glenn Clark kind of designed it that way. And we're going to see a short video right now in a moment of what I will call inspiration. Eric Nielsen and I put together this video for your enjoyment. There we go. Hi there. Welcome to Winnie's CFO. Thanks to David Hodges for all those facts about Glenn Clark. We really enjoyed hearing that. My name's Dana, and I'm going to tell you about the CFO day. Well, the first part of the CFO day is morning meditation. The morning is a good time to slow down and get the code, Glenn Clark said. We have two meditations that are offered each morning, a silent meditation in the meeting house and a lead meditation at the stone pulpit. Listen up, you just might hear God talking to you. How come the joy? How come the praise? How come the songs to God we raise? Where does it come from? Yes, we know it's the love of Jesus in our soul. Group singing is the next part of the day, and it's an essential one, a time to worship God and experience the joy of everyone around you. And it gets us ready for the morning talk. Our speakers this year are Stan and Joyce Carol Carter. You might remember Joyce from a few years ago. We had such a great time. CFO speakers are here to share from their personal walk with God, and I think you're going to be blessed. Our next activity is rhythms. Through rhythms, we honor the body as the temple of the Holy Spirit. As we let go in the physical, we allow the spirit to fill us with vitality, releasing a sense of play and freeing the part of us that is childlike to experience the kingdom of God. Next is creatives. Creatives provide an opportunity to express what we are receiving from God. This expression can take a few forms, be it visual expression, singing, or writing. Whichever you choose, I'm sure you'll be blessed. Well, after creatives, it's time for lunch, and then it's time for horizontal hour. And if you don't think you need to put your head down for a little bit after the morning schedule, well, think again. With everything God's been doing, you're going to need a little time to take it all in. Shh.
Well, after horizontal hour, it's time for recreation from 2:15 to 4 p.m. There's a myriad of things you can do here at Winnie CFO. I'm going to the beach. Well, after recreation time, it's time for prayer preparation. Prayer preparation takes place in the meeting house, and you're going to want to hear David's prayer prep mix, so don't be late. Prayer prep is a time to get ready for prayer groups, and it might be the only way you find out where your prayer group is meeting, so please show up on the first day. We'll see you there. And now it's time for prayer group, or prayer labs, as Glenn Clark called them. Glenn Clark envisioned the prayer groups, called labs, as the heart of the CFO, a growing, searching adventure among open-hearted, loving people. Active participation in a prayer lab, be it silent or otherwise, is the key to a successful CFO experience. Well, after prayer lab, it's time for dinner. And then we have an evening of group singing, a rousing time. Then our evening talk. Make sure to stick around afterwards. We have Afterglow, a fun time of fellowship with all the CFOs. Make sure that lights are out at 11 o'clock, please. Well, that's an overview of the CFO day. I hope that helped you out. There'll be some other things that happen this week, and details about those activities can be found in your handbook. So make sure to give it a look-see. We'll see you at morning meditation.
The highest art of living consists of making prayer such a natural and continual expression toward God that it works itself into the muscles and the mind processes. Then every act of our daily lives reflects the love and joy of Christ's presence. Glenn Clark.
Thank you to Eric Nielsen for his production skills on the video.
Did you like that? Well, okay. In conclusion, the purpose of the orientation talk is to acquaint first-time campers with the roots of CFO so that you'll know where it came from and what it's about and what the day is for. So, in order to get us off on the right foot, I want you to conduct with me a thought experiment. And in that thought experiment, we're going to play a parable and use our divine imagination. And in the divine imagination, I want you to picture that we use that little video as a secret time to place a device under each one of your chairs while you're distracted looking at Dana. And that device has done three things to you while you were watching the video. First of all, that device has magically and incredibly turned you all into first-time campers. So, poof, you're all first-time campers. Joel, you're a first-time camper. Jack, all you 60-year crew over there, first-time campers. Kirsten, first-time camper. Counseling, everybody, first-time camper. So this is just going to be a brand new experience for all of us. It's everything is going to be the first time, no preconceptions. You're just going to come to everything with a completely fresh view of what it's about. Secondly, this device that's been planted under your chairs has planted within you your own personal way to power up into exceptional Christian living. How it works is unique to each one of you. I can't tell you how your own power-up device is going to work this week, but it's there, and it's in you, and it's your job to figure out how it works. Some of you know how yours works. Some of you know how you get into the kingdom, and you can do it. Others of you are learning, and this is a good place to learn. So third, this device has planted within you a secret mission. Each one of you now has a secret mission for the week. I can't tell you what your mission is. Only God knows what your mission is, but you do have one. I can assure you, each one of you has a secret mission for this week. Something that brought you here. Some purpose. Something that you are meant to find out or learn or experience or grow into. And it's your job to find out what your mission is and then to carry it out. The clues are all around you. You'll see them everywhere you look, every conversation you have, every book in the bookstore, every prayer group, everything a speaker says is going to give you clues, but you're the only one that can really figure it out. So, first-time campers, what are you going to do with your week? We hardly know what to expect, and it all sounds a little bit scary. And so you're probably nervous. You're probably comfortable with where you are spiritually. You're convinced that camp has nothing to teach you. Or maybe you heard some weird things and you don't want to get into this too deep, but you're just going to scout around the edges. Or maybe you're curious and you want to get into the book room and explore some of the books. Or maybe you can't wait for your first prayer group or for creatives or rhythms. But I want to ask you, is there a part of Glenn Clark's philosophy that you can apply or that resonates with you in some way? Or is there some part of it that is new for you and you want to learn more about it? Is there something that you can take and turn into your own personal way to power up into kingdom living and to help you to fulfill your mission? Can you take what you have at camp and make it better, stronger, more exciting? We're all first-time campers. We all have a way to power up into kingdom living. We all have been given a mission. I challenge you to make everything new this week and make it new. I challenge you to remember that boy pouring water that I told you about and take every single moment and turn it into an opportunity to pour waters of blessing for someone else. I challenge you to look for ways in which God wants to speak to you right here, right now. Listen with that spiritual ear. See with that spiritual eye. Feel with that spiritual heart. I challenge you, change things up. Do something new. Let your body teach you how to experience the Spirit in a new way. Let your soul lead you into creating with a new voice. Let your spirit lead you into praying in new ways, different ways. Go farther out. Dare to change. Dare to connect. Dare to dream. Let's all be first-time campers. Let's all find the way to power up into kingdom living. Let's all be on our mission. So, let's remember the water boy with the smile that blesses. And let's remember that the kingdom of heaven is right under our noses. Let's remember that denizens of the kingdom are wiping up the water under our glasses unnoticed. Let's remember that our power might lie in our smile. And our mission might be as simple as pouring water. And so, may the water of life flow for each one of us. And may we be blessed with a smile from above and be a blessing for each person we touch. And may God surround us and fill us and take us beyond where we are to new life. Thank you.
One of the traditions that we have at CFO all over the world is what we call our 9 o'clock prayer. And we do this at the end of the evening at each camp, even though it's not quite 9 o'clock. We'll be doing our 9 o'clock prayer. And it's actually printed right in the inside cover of your handbook. And I brought it up here because I'm not absolutely convinced I could start it off correctly if I didn't have it in front of me, but you have it here, and it's a nice thing to have in your mind all year round, but we'll say it again in a few minutes. But first, I just wanted to thank David and Dana for that wonderful orientation, and thank you all for being here so patiently on a day when you had a really hot travel day and you're trying to settle in. And there is going to be snacks, afterglow snacks. Are Linda and Jim Baker here, or they're already out there? So they're out there preparing wonderful snacks for us, so please go out and thank them and give them hugs. And I also want to recognize right now Jay Kerr, who is our wonderful sound person. We can't do anything around here without him. So to say our 9 o'clock prayer, let's all stand and hold hands.